The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed, Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
Good morning, podcast world, and welcome back to yet another episode of The Way Forward, a Bible study for men. In light of this coronavirus, we are still able to meet via phone or Skype, and we will continue to do so. And we will be in prayer for this pandemic, that God would sweep on through this nation and wipe it out, and then sweep on through the world and wipe it out as well. So we're going to move on to week two. And I got Joe Bernard back with us, and we're going to dive on in. And if you have a book, if you want to follow along per se, you can kind of go through pages 39 to 57. Those are the pages that we kind of pull these questions from this week. So, Joe, what's up, man?
It's great to be back. Thank you again for the invitation.
Oh, man. Awesome. Now, how are you doing with this pandemic right now?
Yeah, you know, I think there, you know, there's two angles. I mean, obviously as a citizen, you're concerned and want people to make good choices. I think as a pastor, as a spiritual leader, though, there's also a great opportunity for Christians to really reconsider the trajectory of their life, to be revived as they have time alone, and hopefully alone before God. And also, I mean, those that are not believers, to really be confronted with what it's like to look at the world without God, without hope. And so I think my prayer is just that whatever else happens on the back end of this, that we really see a spiritual renewal happening within the church, but also just, you know, overflowing from its walls.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. You know, I'm praying, I'm going to be a little over optimistic, and I'm going to say that God is way bigger than this, and whatever comes out of this will be his doing. And I am just praying that the church attendance would grow. And I'm not just saying, oh, I want more people in church. I'm praying for church attendance to grow, because I want people to grow, you know, closer to God and understand who this God is that you and I both serve. And because, look, I mean, you and I, we're doing great. You know, I know some people, or I know of some people that have the coronavirus, and the families are scared. But for the most part, the people that don't have God in their lives, they are more at panic and more aroused than the person that has Christ. It doesn't mean the Christian is not, you know, taking this seriously or is not worried about it. It's just, we have a peace, and our peace is in Christ, and that peace surpasses all other understandings and stuff like that. So
amen.
I'm to the point where I'm getting mad at people for not adhering to the guidelines that our government is trying to implement to stop the virus and whatnot, which kind of brings us into the title of this particular week. And it's kind of funny that we're even looking at that, because people tend to do their own thing, and they don't think the problem is a problem. So this week's title is The Depth of the Problem. Now, granted, we're not talking about the coronavirus the whole time,
right?
Just keep that in the back of your mind. The depth of the problem. What really is the problem? So with that being said, my first question of the evening, Joe, is this. You talk about six or seven different aspects of the problem that is disrupting men's discipleship. Okay, so is this not a little overcomplicated, or you know, what are your reasons for this?
Yeah, it might seem a little complicated, you know, if you're reading through But I think here's the problem. Often there's a simplistic understanding of people that I think spiritual leaders have, pastors have. We sometimes just think that the person in the seat or in the pew is just a thinker, and if we can give them the right information, they'll be transformed. When the truth is, you know, God has made us complex. You know, our emotion affects us much more deeply than we sometimes realize. And often we, you know, we feel that where we'd like to go one direction, but, you know, our desire is pushing us another direction. Hmm. And, you know, along with that, we're social, and the people we hang out with, our relationships, determine the things that we aspire to and the things that we love. And, you know, so there's, you know, we are complicated creatures. And if we're going to be honest about why it's so difficult for us to pursue discipleship, we've got to be willing to look at a complex picture of what we are. And once we see that, then we can build on top of it a solution that I think is going to really help men be transformed in their walk with God.
Amen. Amen. You know, and I was looking on page 40. I'm going to jump around a little bit. I was looking at the footnote. Footnote number 16, and it says, an in-depth treatment of this navigation system can be found in Charles Taylor's Source of the Self, the Making of the Modern Identity. And it's funny because let's take a look at men. Men are usually not known as complex creatures. We're pretty simple, okay?
Right.
And I'm not taking a stab at women, but women can be complex at times. But when you look at the modern day identity of men, it's either embedded in a video game, it's either embedded in a fantasy football, it's embedded in some kind of sports, it's embedded in all these other external things that mean nothing to our eternity.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
Is it overcomplicated? You know?
Well, I think, you know, the truth is, if you asked a guy, a typical man, why he's living the way he is, he wouldn't really have an answer. I mean, like you said, you know, there's all of these things that are influencing us, like whether it's, we're playing video games, whether we're just paying attention to sports, whether we're caught up in our career. But very few guys, I mean, we like to think that we're at the, you know, in the car, holding on to the steering wheel, navigating our lives, choosing the route we go on. But if you really are honest with what you're doing in your life, most of us, we're coasting along, and we're not exactly sure who's got the steering wheel. And we're constantly making decisions that, you know, we'd like to not be making, and yet it keeps happening. You know, we keep making things that are, you know, counteracting the life that we would like to live as Christian men. And so we got to try to figure out what's wrong with us. If we're going to figure out how to be changed.
A lot's wrong with this dude. You didn't know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have said that. But
no, it's true. We're broken. And I think, you know, that's what we'll get into with some of the depth of this issue.
Yeah. Now, I want to get into this next question. So in this week, we are moving from the surface to the problem, to the death of the problem, if you will. Now, Joe, if you don't mind, I would like you to explain the differences between these two.
Yeah. So, you know, we had a session last week, and we looked at a whole variety of things that derail discipleship, ranging from the isolation of men to just the distraction of social media, et cetera, to just the busyness and exhaustion. But, you know, there was a key word that we didn't really talk about, and it's so vital, and we can't take it for granted. We've got to feature it front and center, and that's sin. And so, you know, if we're really going to be talking about what is hijacking the spiritual growth of men, we got to focus our attention ultimately on sin. Now, in order to try to deal with the complexity of the sin problem, though, that's what we're talking about, the depth of the problem. We really want to look at two aspects. And, you know, one of them is an issue, call it of your heart, you know, of the deep motivations, the desires, the passions of men. But there's another aspect, which is more, you know, in our head, which is more cognitive. You know, if we don't believe all of the truths of the gospel that are vital to our Christian identity, you know, if some of those are missing, then that too is going to affect our walk with Jesus. So when we get to the depth, I want to say, look, these other things we've talked about, it's not that they're unimportant, but we don't want to get so caught up, say, talking about the way that our phones have changed us and neglect the elephant in the room, which is really the fact that sin indwells our heart And we have to figure out, again, what does sin, if we just leave it there, what does it do? How does it, overrule, the life of the Spirit, or, drive us away from the man that we would want to be changed into?
That is so true. That is so true. I'm underlining something real quick. Give me a second.
Yeah.
All right. I know you're not supposed to write in books, but that's a nasty habit I have. I can't help it.
It's good. It's a sign of a well-loved book.
All right. So I want to kind of move over. You mentioned that some stuff we talked about in last week's session. But now for this week, I want to talk about men being distracted. Not distracted, but distracted.
Yeah.
Or distracted, I'm there, sorry.
Disattracted. So, we've got distraction, which is just our attention, but then here trying to get to a disattraction. So the idea that we're actually attracted somehow to not necessarily bad things, but things of lesser significance that keep us from being able to chart a course to what is most significant. So that's what this section on being disattracted is angling toward.
Yeah, I'm disattracted with all this coronavirus stuff going on right now. I'm gonna be honest with you. However, for my men that's looking for this spiritual roadmap, this renewal, this is the best time for us, men, to reconnect with a body of believers and to become reattracted to that type of lifestyle. This is now, I would consider this a very positive, strong season for us to do such thing. I'm calling all men to put sports aside real quick and go for something that means a lot more than that sports. Because sports, let's be honest, it's a seasonal thing. Okay.
Right.
Sports is seasonal. Your eternity is not seasonal. Instead of us, not being attracted to the things that matter the most, we need to kind of focus on that. And I think that's so important. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to steal your words as my own words. Is that okay?
Sure.
You put in a book, and I'm going to quote it from page 42. You said, at the end of the day, love always wins. Whatever a man loves most will direct the course of his life. If a man loves wrongly, he will live wrongly. Now, before I let you describe what you meant by that, I watched these video clips on Facebook a lot. And it's the guy's name, he goes by Darman or something like that. And he makes these like moral video clips. And the last one I watched was this morning, actually. This guy was a CEO of a company. He owned this big multi-million-dollar company, but he decided he was going to cut employee health care and give his wife a vacation home of her dreams. But the wife was like, "You cut the health insurance for the employees to get me a, you know what? Take the house back and give these people what they deserve."
If
you do wrong things, we will live wrongly. And the Bible clearly states that wherever our treasure lies, there also lies our hearts. I think I just butchered that, but
but we get the point. Yeah.
Right. So when you wrote those words, what did you mean by that quote?
Yeah. I think, Christian men don't think enough about their motivation in life. And so a lot of us, we struggle to find motivation. And often our problem is really, it's at the level of what we care most deeply about. And, one of the places we want to get to in life is where the thing that's most painful for us is to not, for example, spend time with God. A lot of guys, they struggle to have a quiet time, but really the men who consistently have, say, quiet times are the ones who, it's a more painful thought to not get the time with God than the effort of spending time with God. And, if you really want to know what you're most passionate about, I mean, there's four feelings, four emotions that correspond to love, or that underlying driving attraction that we have to pursue something in life. And you know, these four, I think they're an interesting four things to think about right now with this virus and all the time that we have isolated, but they're desire, enjoyment, fear, and grief. And all of these are indicative of what we care about. So, you know, the things that we desire is just wanting to draw closer to something, wanting to have more of it, wanting to be able to share in it. And, you know, whatever you desire most is what you care most about. And, you know, very close with desire is enjoyment. You know, the things we love are the things that, you know, as we're getting to do them, they bring us great delight or joy. So, you know, you mentioned sports, and I mean, how many guys, you know, they constantly think about, you know, hoping for LSU football season to come around. You know, they enjoy nothing more than getting to watch, you know, an LSU game on TV or go to the stadium. But equally, there's the other two emotions that indicate what we care about, which are fear and grief. And, you know, the way fear is connected with love is we fear not having or something coming in the way of what we desire or delight in. Mm. And so right now, you know, all of us are really afraid that LSU football, it might not happen. And that causes us that fourth feeling of grief. And grief is when the thing that you love is not attainable. It's absent. There's a distance between you and that thing, and the cause that causes grief. And so one of the questions I'd love for men to be asking right now is what are you really grieving the loss of? I wonder how many Christian men right now are really grieving the loss of being able to go to church on Sunday morning and fellowship with other believers versus the guys that are grieving not being able to get into the gym or not getting to watch March Madness right now. I mean, we need to pay attention to our heart because all of our lives are governed by what we love. And, you know, look at it. You know, what are the things that you enjoy most? What are the things that you grieve losing most? And if these things aren't connected to your life in Christ, then you're not going to be on a journey toward Christ. Christ is going to actually, that journey is going to feel like it's a detour away from the thing that you want most, be it success or health or fitness or just time with your family. So we just want to say, you know, what you love matters so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I got to write that down. Now, the funny thing is when you said that men that are striving to like get in the gym, the funny thing is I actually know I have a friend that is dying to get back in the gym, and I'm on the nerdy side, so I'm that guy that wants to go to church.
Right.
You know, like I was all excited about going to church. It was only three of us at church this past Sunday.
Right.
But I was there for one purpose, and that purpose was to live stream my pastor preaching so that our church members can have a way to watch and still fellowship and get the word. And I ended up taking a picture of my, I have two cell phones, and I took a picture with my other cell phone with, like, it was actually live streaming, and I put, when a virus tries to stop the word from being sent forth, and I put the three dots, and I put, we improvise. And that means a lot, because a lot of people, and we had a great deal of men watching that live stream yesterday of my pastor preaching. And that was refreshing for me because it showed that I'm not the only guy that's into this church stuff, if you will. I'm not the only guy that's yearning to be as Christ-like as possible, knowing he's still a sinner. I'm not the only guy that's seeking that and seeking to be Christ-like. And that's the refreshing part. But then in the back of my mind, I know I got friends that are looking for March Madness to come around, that are looking for the sports seasons to come up, especially football. You know,
right.
Looking to go party and drinking and stuff like that. That's all things that some men, most men think about. They don't really think about their salvation, if you will.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, we need to pay attention to these things. Like, yeah, what are we thinking about? Where are we investing our time? You know, where is our heart? What are we most passionate about? Because it matters immensely in terms of our walk with Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. Now, my next question is this. Now, the second part of the death of the problem claims that men are unconvinced. Now, unconvinced is a pretty strong word. What do you mean by this?
Okay, so you know, again, we're trying to get at two aspects that what we were just talking about with the heart of men. You know, it's the idea that men aren't apathetic. They're not without passion, but they're really idolaters. They're pursuing the wrong objective. With this second idea of men are unconvinced, what I mean is I'm speaking of a Christian audience. So I'm assuming that a reader believes a lot of the fundamentals of the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, I think my reader, they believe Jesus died for their sins. They believe he resurrected from the grave. They believe, you know, that there's salvation in his name. But the problem is if certain beliefs are lacking, it affects our discipleship. So what I do in this section is rather than try to outline all of the core beliefs of Christianity, which would take a very big book, I want to highlight, well, what are some key beliefs that do affect our walk with Jesus, but that are absent from your kind of mainline evangelical Christianity right now. Mm. And so, you know, the image is of kind of a pier and beam foundation. And, you know, if you start knocking out some of these supports, the foundation is going to collapse. And so that's what's wrong is it's not that guys don't believe any of the gospel, but there's elements of the gospel missing and it has damaging consequences on their faith.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So with that being said, Joe, why is it important for men to believe that growth requires effort? I mean, think about it. A man goes to church for a couple of years and then stops. You know, why does the growth require effort?
Yeah, and so that, you know, that's the first one I pick up on is that I think in a lot of Christianity, effort is, it's almost a bad word, and we kind of assume that it's the same thing as self-reliance and that it's the same thing as legalism. And so, you know, there's this, there's a certain kind of discipleship where you know, it's just, you know, if you're just passive and if you just watch, you know, you should be transformed. But what's interesting, that's not, it's just not the picture that we see in the New Testament. You know, Paul, he talks about, you know, running in a race. Mm-hmm. He talks, you know, he more than once, he talks about finishing the race. And you look at his own ministry, how he pursued his own calling. He says, you know, I toil with all the energy that God supplies. And he gives full credit to the idea that God is supplying the energy. He's also giving full credit to the fact that it sometimes feels like toiling and striving and struggling. And so I want men to have an honest conception of discipleship. And I think, you know, if we look at, if we just, you know, are careful with the New Testament, we need to be careful to embrace grace, but at the same time, not to abuse grace in the sense of thinking that the Spirit doesn't actually want to transform me and that transformation is not going to require effort and exertion on our part because that is God's Spirit working through us. It's not, we're not saying it's 50% us and 50% God. We're saying that it's 100% Him, but He's working in our persons with our energy, with our toil, yeah, enabling us to change. And that's the picture that we have of sanctification in the New Testament.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Now, you spend a couple pages focusing on the idea of the final judgment. So how should the judgment of Christ influence the spiritual lives of Christian men? And that is a very important question. You have to answer that one.
Yeah, you know, I think this is, if it was, it's certainly, the judgment of Christ is something where not all of our questions get answered in the New Testament. There's lots of things we would like to be told that we're not. But it's an important theme that comes up again and again and again. And so I find that most Christian guys, they really don't know what to do with it. And so they just kind of ignore it when I think it's a dangerous position to land in. I'll read, this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. And Paul, he's been talking about, you know, the foundation that's been laid and the way in which, you know, workers, including, you know, all of us, that we either contribute gold, silver, and precious jewels or wood, hay, and stubble. And this is what he says. He says, each one's work will become manifest for the day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now, here are the key points, I think, in terms of just discipleship. Paul's very clear. He's very clear that there's no such thing as losing our salvation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we just need to own those truths and make sure that nothing infringes upon them at all. But Paul's also clear that what we do matters, and that there are rewards that can be gained or lost, and that in a way we can actually waste our lives as Christians. And I think that's the idea men need to contemplate, that there's the capacity to use our lives somehow to contribute to what God is doing. And all of us can do that. You know, whether you're sweeping streets or whether you're president of the United States or whether you're a pastor in a church, that we have the capacity to contribute gold or precious metals is what Paul says. But likewise, it can be hay, wood, and stubble. Mm. And so, you know, we need to ask that question, you know, what do we want to do with our lives? Do we want to invest it in just short-term pleasure that ultimately will burn up, Paul says, and amount to nothing? Or do we want to live with an eternal horizon and invest in eternity, trusting that somehow, in a way that we don't fully understand, but these things are going to carry on and can actually result in a kind of reward, which a lot of the older Christians described as a fuller enjoyment of God. So it's a teaching, I think, that's really important to sustain motivation, but that a lot of guys don't know what to do with.
Yeah, absolutely. I could tell you, I want to be ordained as a pastor, but not really preach. Doesn't make any sense. I know it's a very odd request. I'm not saying I would never preach, but ever since I was a kid, I remember wanting to be a pastor because at a young age, I understood the reasoning for Christ and why he came and died for our sins and the purpose that he did that. And, you know, I could see the love behind it. And I remember this quote, I don't know who said it, but my friend texted it to me and it was probably his quote. And he said, you know, when you learn to sit at the table with Judas, you will learn the love of Jesus Christ. You know, so thinking about that quote at a young age, my heart's always been with preaching the gospel and telling people about Jesus. And that's been my mandate since I can remember. Now, obviously, when you get to high school, nobody wants to be a preacher because that's not cool. So you think about something else to do with your career. And, you know, I'm not upset with being in law enforcement. I actually love being in law enforcement. I think God has me here for a reason. But at times I can kick myself because I should have been in seminary and working toward a master's in divinity. But that's not saying that God is not using me where I am. And me personally, I am paying attention to my heart and the things that do attract me more versus the things that disattract me. So I'm kind of keeping an eye on that. I'm not doing the best at it because I'm not perfect. However, I'm watching it.
So that's good.
Now, you want, moving on, so let's talk about the danger of drawing a strict line between the sacred and the secular. And I'm talking strict line. So why is this damaging to the spiritual growth of men?
Yeah, you know, one of the one of these pillars that I think is missing is just, it's labeled the spiritual potential of ordinary men. You know, there's this sense that, you know, there's two classes of Christians that kind of correspond to two types of jobs or professions. And so, you know, you've got the sacred calling and you've got the secular calling. And so, you know, the kind of athletes on the field are the pastors and the missionaries and people who do it full time and have pay. And then everybody else kind of supports, you know, from the home front. And it's not that we don't do anything, but it's not really the front line either. And so because of that, we can be a little bit more distracted and a little bit less focused and honestly, a little bit less inspired because, again, we're on the secular side, not on the sacred. And I think that's just real damaging. I think, you know, the picture in the New Testament is that there are special gifts of pastoring and of teaching and of preaching, but that these are to equip the saints and that the saints are the ordinary Christians. And so, you know, the picture in the New Testament is the front line of the kingdom of God is, you know, wherever an ordinary Christian is. And the challenge is for all of us to see that we have that calling. It's not even just a potential, but it's actually, you know, that's our standing orders to take up our lives and to, you know, own them for Christ and to extend his mission where we are from what we're doing. And so, you know, guys, they need to realize, hey, my life is every bit as spiritual of a calling as somebody translating the Bible into a new language or the pastor of my local church. And if I don't see that, it's going to affect the degree to which I feel motivated to disciple my kids, to love my wife, to pray for my neighbor, you know, to witness to my friend, and so on and so on.
Yeah. Amen to that. Now I want to do a little project, a visual project here. You remember in school they had the compare and contrast charts, like the two circles that merged together. So I want you to contrast the playground mindset versus the battlefield mindset and tell me what the differences are.
Yeah. So that's another one of these kind of absent beliefs or distorted beliefs. So by playground mindset, so this is what I feel is the impression we get from pop culture mainly. So, you know, if you just pay attention to music, whatever kind of music you listen to, pay attention to what movies and TV and social media tells you, basically the assumption behind most of it is that this life is a playground. And on a playground, there are only three rules. Have fun, be safe, and respect others. And if you think about it, that is the ethical mindset of your modern 21st century person, that there's only three rules in this world. You know, have as much fun as you possibly can, right? YOLO. You know, respect others because they need to have as much fun as they can have, and then be safe. Don't hurt yourself. Now, if we contrast that with a battlefield mindset, and I think, you know, my argument is that the New Testament reveals this life to be a battleground. Well, guess what? On the battleground, the most important thing is not having fun, right? It's extending the mission. It's doing the thing you've been called to do as a soldier. That might be hard. It might not be fun at all, but there's a purpose behind it. You know, respecting others, it matters, but, you know, on a battle situation, you're trying to defend those you love. You're trying to rescue people, right? I mean, it's a higher stake than just, okay, I'm going to let you be on the swing for a little while. I'll come back later. It's, you know, if you're not careful, you're going to get shot.
Right.
Or you are shot and I need to carry you back to the medic. It's a different way of thinking about people. And again, the most important thing, I mean, be safe. Yeah. On the battlefield, you want to be safe, but there's a whole style of vigilance that's required in order to be safe. And the New Testament, you know, how often are we told, you know, we've got the armor of God that we're supposed to put on in Ephesians 6. Peter's telling us to abstain from the fleshly desires that wage war against our soul. 2 Corinthians 2, Paul's talking about not being ignorant of the devil's devices. Peter's telling us that the devil's prowling like a roaring lion. I mean, you know, if we're going to survive this life that we have as Christian soldiers, we've got to wake up both with an offense and a defensive mindset in a sense that, hey, we're dependent upon a team of people, not just, you know, there's no lone soldier that gets his mission done. So I think it makes a world of difference if you actually contrast if this world is a playground or if it's a battleground. It'll affect everything about how you live.
Yeah, I mean, most men look at it and view it as a playground. And I say that to say this. Because the way the mind of a man works, let's be honest with each other. Let's be honest on this podcast. God is not in the forefront of most men's minds.
Yeah.
So for most men, it's a playground. They're going to do whatever they want to do to please themselves and to make themselves happy and to have fun. Okay. And then for those men that are warriors in the battlefield, you know, people like yourself, my pastor, R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, John MacArthur, John Piper, all those people and as many others that are warriors in the battlefield, and they are not playing games. They're having fun in a sense because they're doing what God's calling them to do, but it's not an easy task trying to preach to men and women that don't want to hear the gospel.
Mm.
You know, so that's the contrast I see. You got the selfish man that does whatever he wants to do to please himself. And then you have the man that God's called to preach his word and to deliver his gospel that is toiling and struggling through all of this, but doing it faithfully. You know, and that's the man I inspire to be, the one that is out there fighting and doing it every single day.
You know, I think the assumption of our culture is, again, that fun is the highest good. The truth is, all of us know that's not the case. I mean, I love fun. We all love fun. But I tell you what I love more, which is when there's an important task to be done and you do it with all your strength and you finish it.
Yep.
You know, you think of like Paul, when he's saying, I fought the good fight, I finished the race. Think about that for a moment. He talks about a crown of righteousness, which the Lord is going to put on his head. I mean, could any fun compare to that joy of having gotten to the end of the race and finished it, right, and knowing that, you know, Jesus, he's pleased and that the work, it was done in all of us. I mean, that's what God's calling us to, right? I mean, we all have this potential to live our lives intentionally for the mission of God, but are we going to settle just honestly for self-indulgent, you know, pleasure short term, you know, just watch Netflix while this virus goes, acting as if there's nothing more important that we might do in a critical hour? Or are we going to get on our knees? Are we going to pray? You know, are we going to fast? Are we going to call people, check in on them, share the gospel when people call us and they're afraid? You know, this is a moment where we can step up and live differently.
Absolutely. I so agree, because I've been asking people to, you know, do a prayer conference call with me. If we can't pray in person, call me and let's pray on the phone. Do something.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, now, I'm going to throw you a curveball, and you're probably not expecting this, but I have one more question for you, and it is the last question of the evening. Why are men failing to achieve their potential in Christ?
Yeah, and you know, I think this is, I want to say, all of the things we've talked about over 2 weeks, you got to bundle them all together. You know, the truth is our loves are disorder. So the lesser things, we care more about them than the greater things. We don't really see the potential of our lives. We are naive about the battlefield we walk on. And so we end up casualties, even unintentionally. We are distracted. We are alone. We are exhausted. We are untaught. I mean, you put it all together and it's like, wow, it's going to take a lot in order for men to grow up. And that's the point. I mean, if guys can reach that place, and I think they've heard me, because I'm going to be honest with guys. I'm going to say, look, I can't give you, like we said last week, I can't give you a drive-through option.
Yeah.
I can't give you a 10-week, even a 10-month course that says you are going to be transformed and all of a sudden you're going to be the man that you need to be or that God's created you to be. Let's be honest. This is our life journey, right?
Yeah.
This is what it's all about. If we get 70, 80 years, it's to grow us up into the maturity of men of God. And so, yeah, we got some work to do, but that's the exciting thing, because it means our life, it's not pointless. It's not without purpose, but we can wake up tomorrow and realize, wow, God's got something. There's a road before me, an adventure to step out on. Am I willing to begin to take those steps in that direction? And I think for me, that excites me, because I want my life to have significance and for there to be a road to walk on.
Absolutely. And what I can tell to the men listening to this is Ephesians 4:12, I believe. I may be wrong, but it talks about being renewed in the spirit. And I'm begging, you know, for the Christian man that's listening to this podcast, pray earnestly that we are renewed in the spirit daily. I'm going to agree with Joe on this one. We're going through a pandemic. We're going through a tough time. We're going through a crisis, if you will. I'm not saying I don't want my women praying, but I am calling my men of God, to fall on their faces before God and pray.
Amen.
We have to occupy our time. You know, the governor has told us in Louisiana that we got to stay home. Okay. But he didn't say you can't pray. He didn't say you can't pick up the phone and call a bunch of guys and pray on the phone. He did not say that. He didn't say you couldn't pray on a podcast. He never said that. He said, stay home. So we need to be utilizing this time in a way that glorifies God so that we can enjoy him forever. And then from that, we can display the love of Christ to a very interrupted and a very much scared world that we're in at this present time.
Yeah.
You know, what is the depth of the problem? The problem is that men were not doing our due diligence. And let's be honest. Let's be honest. You know, so now, Joe, what would be the warning label you would give to the men for this week?
Yeah, I guess the warning label is, you know, if you are willing to again, look into your heart. So we talked about, you know, all of us loving things and most of our hearts being disordered. I would challenge you to, you know, look at a few pieces of evidence to figure out what you're most passionate about. And I would say, you know, while you have this space, you know, this virus, think about your time. Where do you ordinarily devote your time? Think about, you know, your strategic thought. What do you constantly worry about? What do you constantly plan it that you can attain? You know, a third one would be, you know, think about your money, what you spend your money on. But, you know, look at the evidence and try to ask yourself, okay, what are the treasures of my life? What are the things that captivate my heart? Because the truth is, all of us were idolaters. Mm-hmm. And until we really break in repentance before God, we're not going to see anything transformative occur in our lives. And so, guys, are you willing to look at the idols in your own heart and be honest before God that you love a lot of stuff, a lot of junk more than him? Now, the great thing is he loves that honesty.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But we gotta be honest if we want him to begin to crack us open so we can experience more of his love. So guys, that's the warning label. It's a painful thing to do, but it's a healing thing to do. To search the idols of your heart and confess them before God.
Amen. Amen, brother. Well, Joe, thank you so much for your time. I'm having fun with this. I am extremely happy that we're doing this Bible study for men. And when this season is done, I'm going to advertise this like it's nobody's business, because I think men, we need to come together and do more Bible studies like this. Men need to encourage men. Instead of going to a football game or looking at a football game on TV, get together and pray. Get together and just study the scriptures earnestly. You would be surprised at the amount of stuff that you can fill your brain with other than the amount of junk, that useless junk you fill your brain with. Turn to scripture, turn to prayer, and just earnestly seek to worship God. That's Amen. All I have. That is
Amen.
All I have. Man, thank you so much, Joe. I'll see you next week. Same time. We'll do it again.
Sounds great. Thank you, Brandon.
All right. God bless.
All right.
Bye. Greetings. This is Steve Sellyards, the author of The GA Junkie. And here are some Presbyterian history notes for the week of March 22nd. Sunday, March 22nd. Sunday, March 22nd. John Rankin was born on this day in 1750. He was an active, popular, and noted pastor in Delaware who served one call in his career but preached and helped throughout the Delmarva Peninsula. He served as a commissioner to the early PCUSA General Assemblies several times, including one GA where he was a representative of the presbytery in a judicial case that was decided in the presbytery's favor. Rankin may be best remembered as the subject of a 1775 question to the Synod, whether preachers should have a college degree, which he had not finished. The Synod replied that presbyteries are the best judges of the circumstances, and those without degrees should not be summarily precluded. This led to his licensing and ultimately his ordination. Monday, March 23rd. In 1892, George Arthur Budrick was born in England. He trained for the ministry and was ordained in the Congregational Church before moving to America. He was a pastor in Illinois, Vermont, and New York before being called as a successor to Henry Sloane Coffin at Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City in 1927. After a long and noted career there, he was a professor at Harvard for 5 years, and in retirement, a guest professor at several schools, including Louisville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Tuesday, March 24th. On this day in 1862, Louisa Maria Lehman Woosley was born. She was ordained as an evangelist in 1889 by Nolan Presbytery of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church and preached revivals around the country. She served as moderator of the Kentucky Synod in 1838. She was the first woman ordained as a minister of the Word and Sacrament in an American Presbyterian church. While the Kentucky Synod was asked to rule that her ordination was invalid, they neither invalidated nor formally upheld it, so her status is frequently considered as a local ordination. Wednesday, March 25th. In 1555, John Knox delivered his last sermon in Frankfurt, Germany, to his English exile congregation. He returned to Geneva the next day. The expectations of the congregation had shifted due to the influx of Anglican exiles, and his Reformed style of worship was falling out of favor, and Knox with it. Thursday, March 26th. Isaac Anderson was born on this day in 1780. He was a pastor in eastern Tennessee, and for most of his life he served New Providence Presbyterian Church in Maryville. In 1819, he led a group that persuaded the Synod of Tennessee to establish the Southern and Western Theological Seminary. He served as the only teacher at the seminary for 6 years and served as president of the school from its founding until his death in 1857. In 1842, the school changed its name to Maryville College and is still a Presbyterian-affiliated school today. Friday, March 27th. On this day in 1842, George Matheson was born. He was born and educated in Glasgow, Scotland, and at the age of 20, he was struck by blindness. Still, he resolved to continue his training for the ministry and became a popular preacher and noted theologian. He was also a hymn writer and published one book of sacred songs, from which the hymn, "O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go," is still in popular usage. Saturday, March 28th. Augustus Norton was born on this day in 1808. He was ordained in New York, but served his first call there very briefly, before moving to the frontier of the West, eventually settling in Alton, Illinois. He was a pastor and church planter in Illinois and Missouri, and has been referred to as the father of Presbyterianism in Illinois. He concluded his career as the district secretary of church extension and home missions in that area. He was also the founder and editor of the monthly newspaper for Illinois Presbyterians, the Presbytery Reporter. Thanks for joining me here on the EAR podcast. Stay safe in these times, and I look forward to joining you again next week.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.